You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday the 9th of December 2025 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at RadioAlbion.com. Well, we're having a lot of problems with the radio stream at the moment. It's become very difficult to actually get it to play anything on time. So I do apologise for that, and we're actually looking at getting another type of software closer to the software that we were using before at Radio Albion, because it is important that we have shows appear at exactly the right time and exactly the right show. At the moment, we can't get anything to appear on time, and the server is completely shuffling all of the podcasts, so you just don't know what is going to come up at what time. It's a potluck at the moment, so I do apologise for that. The chat room is working well, and I made a mistake with the hot link at first. And when you click the link to take you to the chat room, it just took you back to the page which said, here's the link for the chat room. So that now works. If you go on the chat room page and click the chat room link, it will actually take you to the chat room. I've set up another Radio Albion group on Telegram where people can leave comments and can talk in there. Obviously, you can still leave comments in on Discus as well on the main website. And once I've got the radio stream going and we've got that working, I do have further plans for an upgrade to the website, and I'll talk about that once I've got the radio stream going and once I've talked to some people about this technical upgrade that I'm hoping we will be able to get. Now that's out of the way. Oh, and also, I do recommend people listen to the podcast I recorded yesterday with Peter Rushton from Heritage and Destiny. I thought that was a exceptionally good interview, and hopefully we will get Peter back on here again to talk about some more of his research. He is highly academic. His writing is excellent, and he's a very good investigative journalists. I do recommend people purchase their subscription to Heritage and Destiny, or even if you just purchase one magazine at first to see what it's like. I do recommend people do that. I've been reading it since probably about 2012, something like that. And it was the first time I ever met other nationalists was going along to a Heritage and Destiny conference, because that is publicly advertised. So it's a good way to go and meet up with people if you're unsure how to actually get to meet other nationalists. Anyway, getting into the news that I'm going to talk about today. This comes from the Daily Mail, and the headline is "Man cleared of race hate crime in just 17 minutes is barred from coaching his daughter's football team for his right-wing views." And this is interesting on two accounts. It's interesting that he was cleared of a race hate crime, and it's not really clear why he was accused of that in the first place. But despite actually being cleared of that and not having a criminal record for that, he's still being told that he can't have anything to do with children. And the reason for this is because they say they have safeguarding concerns. And what they're doing here is they're using the excuse of needing to protect children, which everybody wants to do, and then they're using that as an excuse to prevent people with right-wing views from having anything to do with children. It's very sinister, actually, to be preying on people's concerns for children's welfare and then using that to silence the political opposition. We see the same thing happening with the Online Safety Act, and there's all this talk of, oh, we need to protect children from suicide websites and being encouraged to kill each other online. We need to protect them from that. And then what they actually do is they censor speech that criticizes the government on social media websites. That's the goal of this act. It's not going to protect children. All they have to do is get a VPN, which most people now have, and they're still able to go on the porn sites, which is was supposedly why this act was brought in, was to stop children from going on porn websites. So it hasn't prevented children from doing that. But what it has done is made it so that the government can tell social media companies that they have to remove comments by people if the government decide that they don't want that comment there, regardless of whether it's legal or not. They will say, oh, well, it's harmful. It might be legal. It might not actually break the law, but we've decided it would be harmful for people to hear these statistics or whatever it is that they don't want the public to know about. And all of that's been brought in under this disguise of we need to protect children. And the same thing is happening here in schools to prevent people with right-wing views from having anything to do with children. Well, to get into this article here, an Iraq war veteran who was cleared of a hate crime in 17 minutes has been banned from coaching his daughter's football team after he complained about illegal immigrants. So he complained about a crime, and that's why he's not being allowed to teach, because he complained about a crime. That's what it is when you complain about illegal immigrants. Jamie Michael from Penygraig in South Wales was charged with inciting racial hatred following comments he made in a 12-minute Facebook video. The 47-year-old described some migrants as scumbags and psychopaths as riots spread across the UK in the aftermath of the Southport murders. So that's not being based upon race, is it? That's not based upon race or religion. He's talking about people's migration status. And he's not saying all of the people who are migrants are scumbags and psychopaths. He was just saying that some of them are. And I would suggest that's why he was found not guilty of this. Now, if you remember the UN Compact on Migration, which Theresa May signed us up to, I think America didn't sign up to it. Donald Trump was in office at the time. But this UN Compact on Migration, one of the things that all these countries signed up to doing was making migration status a protected characteristic, which means that migration status would be the same as race or religion. So if you were to criticize somebody who was a migrant, such as has happened here, then that would actually be a hate crime. And that's quite a step forward, because what they're then saying is criticism of government policy, specifically migration policy, criticism of migration policy would then be a hate crime. So the mask is really off there, and they're really saying that's the real reason why we have these hate crime laws. It's not to protect people of ethnic minority status from hearing some words they might be offended at. That's not the real reason. The real reason is so that we can just prevent people from criticizing government policy in this area, full stop. It's the same as when they wanted to just stop people from bringing up alternative evidence during the COVID lockdowns. The mask came off there as well, because they were calling that hate speech, because they were saying that was a risk to people's health to be advising them not to be taking these jabs, which hadn't actually been tested upon anyone. So I think it's becoming clearer and clearer to people that these laws aren't about protecting migrants from violence happening to them. And they're not about protecting migrants from hearing words they might not particularly like. It's about preventing the general population from verbalizing their discontent at the government's own policies, particularly migration policy. Despite his acquittal, Mr. Michael was told a child protection concern made against him had been substantiated less than a fortnight after the jury delivered its not guilty verdict. So I guess what they're saying there is some substance to a child protection claim. It's being substantiated. There's been enough of substantial evidence there to say that he shouldn't be able to have anything to do with children. That's despite the court saying he's not guilty. As a result, the Football Association of Wales has now barred the father of two from coaching his daughter's team following a meeting held in private with a safeguarding officer and South Wales police. So it was at this meeting that they substantiated this concern, and the people that substantiated that concern was a safeguarding officer and the South Wales police. So it was South Wales police that said, well, he's a risk to have around children, even though he was found not guilty. The former Royal Marine, who is suing the authorities for £25,000, told The Telegraph, "It makes no sense. It just seems to me they want to punish me because of my opinions and because my views don't align with theirs." Well, that is exactly it. He's hit the nail on the head there. They want to frighten people into keeping silent when they have views that don't align with the establishment. The ruling has prompted concern from free speech campaigners who claim people with patriotic views are being silenced due to safeguarding concerns. The Free Speech Union said it had identified more than a dozen cases of laws intended to keep children safe from adults being used to stamp out right-wing views. Lord Young, the union's founder and director, said citing safeguarding concerns to silence people you disagree with is a scandalous abuse of the system. He added that the Free Speech Union has 15 people on our books branded a risk to children due to their political views. And it's interesting, isn't it? They make this big thing about we need to have this safeguarding for children. And yet when you bring up the safeguarding aspect of having drag queens talking to toddlers in libraries, then there's no concern whatsoever. They seem to think that it's absolutely fine for a sexualized adult entertainer to be having contact with small children. That they don't seem to have any concern there. Whereas I would suggest that that is a safeguarding concern, and that those two subjects should not be linked together, children and sexualized adult entertainers. Yet what they are using these safeguarding laws for is to shut down debate and to punish people that have an opposing opinion to the government. These safeguarding boards were established in 2004 following the murders of Holly Wells and Jessica Chapman in Soham by a school caretaker. So they were put in place for a good reason, but they're now being misused. And I would suggest it's the same with these hate speech laws. They're put in place with a good reason, wanting to prevent violence to migrants. But the way that they're now used is to shut down criticism of the government, criticism of the government's migration policy, criticism of all the negative effects that have become of the government's migration policy. In a letter to Mr. Michael, the Cwm Taf Mygonnig board said it was obliged to hold a meeting and the concern had been substantiated by unanimous agreement. This is interesting because the man was found not guilty. Yet when the safeguarding officer from the school met with the South West police, they together unanimously agreed that this concern was substantiated. So you're not innocent until proven guilty. You are guilty if the police say you are, regardless of what the courts have actually said. I think this is really sinister that they hold a meeting in private and they say that, and because those two groups agree, the school safeguarding officer, who's probably extremely left wing, and the South Wales police, who will also be left wing because they would have been to all of these diversity courses and training in challenging views which they see as problematic. And because they've decided this, then that's it. The man can't teach children anymore. Mr. Michael said it was a horrible feeling, telling people he had been banned from coaching his daughter's football team as he felt they might assume that he was a pervert or had been violent to children. And that's just it. And that's what's so sinister about this. If somebody's not allowed to have something to do with children, you would assume that it's because they're a threat to them, a violent threat or a sexual threat. Not that because they might actually hold traditionalist views. He said he had gone public with the ruling against him to ensure that those in his community in the Rhondda Valley, South Wales, did not mistake him for a paedophile, which is, I would suggest, is a genuine concern that that could happen. And because this has now been made public, because he's been all across the newspapers, hopefully people won't think that. But if that had not happened, and somebody at the school was to see that he was not allowed to have anything to do with children when he was requesting to help them out with the football, you don't know what rumours could then get about or what problems could be caused by it. Mr. Michael previously coached both his daughter's under-15s football side and another team she played at on a voluntary basis for one day a week. So it's also depriving the children from somebody that was just going there and helping out of the good of his own heart. He also took over the Pennygrave Boys and Girls Club a decade ago in his hometown amidst fears that it could shut down. So it's only because of him that he's managed to keep this club going. And now, because the police and the school have held a private meeting and they've decided to ignore the court's finding that he was not guilty, and say, well, because he was accused of it anyway, because he said these things about illegal immigration, because he doesn't support that crime, then we're going to have to shut him down and we can't allow him to teach. And don't forget, that's what it is. It's people complaining about a crime. That's what so much of this is. People complain about the crime of young girls being raped by grooming gangs and they end up being sent to jail for complaining about it, because they use old-fashioned language when they do so. They don't use BBC-approved terms. Maybe that's why they're going after this guy, because he was calling them illegal immigrants rather than calling them undocumented migrants, as the BBC would prefer to use the term. And if you want to know the terms that you should use for these things, then watch the BBC. But people don't talk like the BBC, do they? They use the sort of language that they're used to hearing around them. And the sort of language that people are used to using in everyday life is the sort of language that can get you prosecuted nowadays. This is the shameless thing about all of this. People are being prosecuted simply for complaining about horrific crimes and doing so in a naive manner. And why would people want to talk like the BBC? It sort of grates against people that they should have to have speech codes imposed upon them, and that if they want to criticise certain things, they have to use certain language that they've been told to do from on high. It really goes against a person's sense of freedom, a sense of actually living in a democratic state where you are free to discuss these things. We're supposed to be free to assemble with whoever we like, talk to whoever we like, and say whatever we like. If you look at the UN Human Rights Declaration, but then they go against that and they say, well, you're not allowed to organise on the basis of race. You're not allowed to associate on the basis of race, and you're not allowed to criticise on the basis of race. So actually, we don't have the freedom to talk about certain subjects in a free and easy manner. We have to be guarded in the way that we do it. And if we're not guarded in the way that we do it, we can fall foul of the law. At a meeting last week, where the father attempted unsuccessfully to revoke his ban, he argued that neither politics nor religion should play a part in sport. And of course they shouldn't. It shouldn't be anywhere near it. It shouldn't be anywhere near it, really, in music, unless you're specifically making a political form of music. Music, sport, all these sorts of entertainment things should just be about that entertainment thing. According to The Telegraph, he questioned why footballers were allowed to take the knee in support of Black Lives Matter, adding that those on the left seem to be able to say what they like, whereas comments made by those on the right are branded as far right and terrorist. And that's very correct there. If you complain about immigration, they will say, well, that's a terrorism adjacent crime. Terrorism adjacent. They have this term attacked offence. When I was sent to jail, it was counter-terrorism that investigated my podcasts. They said I wasn't a terrorist and that it wasn't a terror offence, but any offences that are far right in nature, they say, are terrorism adjacent. So they say it is right next to terrorism, and you could then quite easily become a terrorist simply from complaining about immigration, as is the case here. And that's a very serious term, terrorist. And they're basically just weakening it by calling people that put stickers up terrorists. I know of people that have been prosecuted under terror laws for putting stickers up, for having a book that was easily available on Amazon. If they can show that you have so-called far-right beliefs, and don't forget, Reform are classed as far-right. When I was going through my license period, once a week I had to sit down for a couple of hours conversation, good conversations we had as well, with somebody from an organisation. I think they were called Divest and Desist or something like this. They were one step up from Prevent, and we would talk about politics. And he said, look, far right isn't extremist. Far right is far right on the political sphere. So Reform would be considered far to the right. So it's not like an insult. It's actually means that they're legal. So what they're actually saying here is that if you have legal views that are far right in nature, for instance, if you support Reform, or if you support even furthest to the right of the Conservative Party, then you are close to being a terrorist. And that's the way that they are taking these things. And they shouldn't be. You know, we don't say that about the far left. We don't say people on the far left like Jeremy Corbyn and his new party that he's just organised. We don't say that they're terrorism adjacent, do we? But if people are so-called far right, then we do say that. Mr. Michael was arrested on August the 9th last year and held in police custody for 3 days. I dare say they ransacked his house as well and pulled it down from top to bottom, looking for evidence of him using an old-fashioned word to describe Pakistanis, abbreviating the word Pakistani or something similar. He then appeared before magistrates where he was denied bail, despite his only previous conviction being for a driving offence 14 years prior. And they will try and tell us that we don't have a two-tier justice system. Clearly we do, when we see that somebody with no previous conviction at all is being denied bail, remanded, that means. That means he was sent straight to prison for complaining about illegal migration after the whole country thought that it was an illegal immigrant that had just carried out this horrific stabbing in Southport. Why did the country think that? Well, because we weren't told who it was that had carried out the stabbing. We were told it was an innocent choir boy from Wales. And it wasn't an innocent choir boy from Wales, was it? It was a man of migrant heritage. His father was a refugee, so he did have refugee ancestry. So it wasn't actually that far off to say that it was a refugee that had caused this. It was the son of a refugee that had caused this. Of course, now they try to tell us the ethnicity of a person that has carried out these horrific attacks. And if they'd done that in the first place, instead of putting out this fake news, which the mainstream media did do, perhaps you wouldn't have had all of these riots that took place, which they say was down to misinformation. Well, the people that were giving out the misinformation about this were the mainstream media. And that's why they try not to do this anymore. Yesterday, there was a case of two Afghan refugees found guilty of raping a 15-year-old girl. And they were under the age of 17 at the time. And the judge has made it public who these two Afghans were, so that other Afghans who weren't responsible don't get the blame for it. And that's quite right. They should be doing this. But why has it taken this horrific attack like Southport last year and massive riots before they actually tell us who it is that are carrying out these crimes, before they actually give us a description? Apparently, I was likely to commit further offences, he said. It was suggested I even had terrorism intentions. It was all a shock. I had never even seen the inside of a prison before. So that's what they will imply, that if you disagree with crimes such as grooming gangs, raping young white girls, or illegal immigrants breaking into the country in small boats. If you're critical of that, they will imply that you might have terrorism intentions. I mean, we've all seen this guidance that's been given out to various authorities, the army, the police, saying that being critical of illegal immigration could mean that the person has extreme right-wing views, is an extremist. And again, let me just reaffirm, Reform are considered to be far right because they are to the furthest of the right of the political spectrum. They are the furthest to the right party that we actually have in Britain. So it's quite legitimate to call them far right. Yet all this government documentation says that anybody that supports far-right policy is adjacent to terrorism, is likely or could actually take part in a terrorism offence. And I mean, this guy served his country as well. He's a veteran. In his 12-minute clip posted to Facebook on July 31st, titled, "This is what I think," he had urged people to get ready, but later stressed he was not referring to violent attacks. He said, "We need to start organising," which doesn't mean getting bats and knives and going out doing what they, the rioters, are doing. I'm talking about doing things the right way, getting in big groups, having meetings, and going to the council and the police and the politicians. And this is exactly what I was talking about on my podcast that I was prosecuted for. I was explicitly saying that we shouldn't go out carrying out violence and that we should be forming groups and becoming part of the council and looking out for the people in our community so that they don't slip through the cracks and they don't become the victims of grooming gangs. And the prosecution just ignored that and would pull a phrase from another podcast entirely, talking about wanting to make good propaganda for nationalists, which would encourage them to become ethno-nationalists. It was aimed at civic nationalists, and he would be saying, "Oh, yes, but you were saying this here, and your co-host here joked about violence there. Isn't it true that you really wanted there to be violence and all of this sort of thing?" Well, no, it's quite clear that I was talking about organizing together in groups. And the reason they were saying I wanted violence is because I was saying, "Oh, it's like we're in the middle of a race war." Of course, if you say race war, then that seems to imply violence, is what the prosecution was saying. So they were saying that when we talk about preparing, then that means preparing for violence. That means preparing violently. Whereas what my argument was, well, we're trying to avoid that violence from happening. That's why we're drawing attention to these issues now, to avoid civil strife on the streets. But of course, this guy here, he's been put through the same. He's been accused of a hate speech, even when he's explicitly said it doesn't mean getting bats and knives and going out and doing what the rioters are doing. I'm glad he was found not guilty so quickly. Looking back on the clip, Mr. Michael admitted some of his views were expressed clumsily. And again, that's the issue. You know, you've got people that are quite rightly complaining about these awful things that are happening, but the way that they are putting it is in the sort of language they're used to using, and then they fall foul of the law. And I when it happened to me, I was saying, well, you know, I was naive in the way that I was explaining these things. I was naive about the law itself. And he's effectively saying the same thing. He's saying his views were expressed clumsily. He was just expressing them in the same way that normal people talk to one another, not in the way that the establishment would want us to talk, not in the way that the BBC talk. He also described newly arrived immigrants as psychopaths. "We need to make sure that none of these scumbags come into our valley and settle here, making things unsafe for our children." And I would suggest that when he said they're scumbags, he's not talking about all migrants, is he? He's talking about the ones among them who are scumbags. And he spoke about holding local labour councillors personally responsible if anything happens to our little ones. And that's what the government don't want. They don't want to be held responsible for this, and they want the general public to think that those who are complaining about this are trying to blame the immigrants or hate the color of somebody's skin. When we don't blame the immigrants for doing the things that they do, we blame the government for its immigration policy, which means that which facilitates the worst among the migrants doing the horrible things that they do. It's the government that are responsible for this. One of the big the downsides, really, of protesting is that when you protest about these issues, people end up having to protest outside the hotel that the migrants are housed in, because that's the place that will draw attention. And some people may think that you're actually protesting against the migrants in the hotel and try to intimidate them. And that's wrong. It's the government that are responsible. They're the ones that are being protested against, not the actual people in the hotel. They're just trying to do what's best for themselves. They're just trying to go to a country where they can make more money effectively. It's the government that are at fault for facilitating it, for allowing the people to come in, for putting them up in hotels, for silencing the people that complain about it. I mean, you imagine what it's like for, say, a migrant from Afghanistan, and he's got a friend that has made it into Britain, and his friend is showing him pictures that he's taken of girls on the beach. And to this Afghan in Afghanistan, to him, it looks like all these girls are completely naked. And then he hears from his friend that, oh, yes, and there's at the moment, there's these grooming gangs that have been taking these victims that have been raping these young girls. And guess what? Do you know what the police do? They arrest the people for complaining about it. They don't arrest the people that have carried out the rapes. They arrest the people for complaining about it. And if anybody criticizes Islam or migration, then again, the police arrest them. So what are you going to think if you live in Afghanistan, if you're also being told that there's loads of money that you can get when you move to Britain, and they'll put you up in a 4-star hotel? The worst of the people in Afghanistan, the ones that don't want to stay behind and rebuild their country, the worst people that aren't wanted by the Taliban, they're going to come to Britain, aren't they? Where they know they're going to get all, everything's going to be put on for them, laid on for them, where they're going to be surrounded by naked women all the time that aren't wearing burqas. You know, it's the government that are to blame for this, not the migrants themselves. His video was reported to police by a staffer from the office of Buffy Williams, a Labour member of the Senedd, the Welsh Parliament. Mr. Michael said, "When I voiced my opinions, the full force of the law came down upon me. Millions of other people have the same concerns about unvetted and unchecked males coming into the country after throwing away their passports. I think there are many people in jail today who shouldn't be there." And I thoroughly agree with that. There are lots of people in jail today who shouldn't be there. Lots of nationalists that are in jail for complaining about what's being done in our country, for trying to draw attention to it, who've effectively been jailed for not using the correct abbreviations or pronouns and what have you. The government are more concerned about the language itself than they are about the horrific crimes that take place. Despite his prosecution, the video has yet to be taken down from Facebook, where it has now amassed more than 16,000 views. Well, things have certainly changed over at Facebook since Donald Trump came into office, haven't they? Mr. Michael has suggested he is optimistic the ban can be overturned. Hopefully we can get justice, he added. The Cwm Taf Mogynnog Safeguarding Board said it was unable to comment amidst ongoing legal proceedings. I hope he does get justice, but I am doubtful that he will get justice. And just to go back to this Facebook issue, why should Facebook take it down? Why should an American social media company be enforcing laws of other countries? Surely they should keep to their own law. And America has guarantees for free speech. And that's what's so good about these social media companies that are based in America, or that are based in Russia, like Telegram. It means that they will uphold the free speech of their citizens, and in doing so, it means they also uphold the free speech of all the other people in the world. But it's a double-sided knife, you see, because if you are then used to seeing people use free speech, and you happen to be British, and then you happen to do the same on these social media companies, then you can be arrested and thrown in jail. There's a couple of other people this week. One got a suspended sentence and another one got sent to jail for posts that they had made on Twitter, which are completely legal by American standards, but they're not legal by British standards. And, you know, this is one of the drawbacks of the Anglo-American nationalist community that we have. People that aren't, that haven't been involved for very long, see the way that the Americans speak, and they think that we can speak exactly the same. And you're a cuck if you don't say the N-word and things like that. And it's great that we have Anglo-American friendship, and it's great that we can help each other out. But the drawback from that is that we think in Britain that we can speak in the same way, and we can't. We have to speak in a different way. And you have to look at that positively as well. You have to think, well, that's encouraging us to speak in a way that makes our content more accessible to other white people. And it's not non-whites that complain about our content, it's other white people that complain about it. So we want to be making content that your average white person is not going to be offended at, that using language that they're not going to be offended at, because then you actually do bring more people into our movement. And I think this gentleman here is certainly learning that. And I hope he does get justice. I hope they do allow him to teach his football team. But what it is doing is it's certainly drawing attention to this big scam of using safeguarding concerns to punish people for their political opinions. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.